Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with another episode of Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. This episode, I believe, is episode 22, and what we're going to cover today is how to have family devotions. Of course, there is no magical way to have family devotions, but I'm going to tell you a little bit of things I have learned and some of the ways in which we have implemented it into our own home, and hopefully they'll be able to give you some ideas and be able to give you a platform that you can then use to implement in your own home and begin family devotions. A couple episodes ago, we talked about the importance of family devotions, so I'm following this one up with ways in which you can implement it and try to give a real practical way. It may not be a very long podcast, but hopefully it'll be filled with some practical ideas and some great value for you. Before we actually do that, I want to direct you to some of the business. First of all, continue to check us out on the webpage. You can do that at thelegacypodcast.net. Now, I do want to let you know that we are in the process of changing our host and changing to a different domain, which will be thelegacypodcast.com. And I found that webs.com, which is what I currently have our podcast on, is not sufficient for what I need. And so I'm actually going over to a WordPress platform, and hopefully that will be able to be better. But of course, I'm a little behind on learning curve on that, so I've got to develop that a little bit more. So in the process of transferring that over for a while, they're going to be able to access from both pages, but then for too long, it'll be transferred over entirely over to legacypodcast.com with a whole new section over there at WordPress. So just going to give you an eye heads up for that. But anyway, still check us out at the web page. You can do that. And also continue to friend us on Facebook, connect with us there, tell others about us, and also continue to download us, whether through the RSS feed or through iTunes. And if you want to give us some feedback on iTunes, that would be greatly appreciated as we continue to build the community. And then don't forget to log in and register as a member of the website, and we'll transfer that over and we'll be able to take care of you when we move over to the new site as well. Continue to build the community as we continue to grow some of the content. I'd really encourage you to give me some feedback. I would like to know what episodes you like, which ones you don't like, which things are going well, which is not going well, so that I can continue to provide value to those who are listening. And so I appreciate those of you who are listening, and I would encourage you to give me some feedback on that. You can do that, of course, by giving feedback on each of the episodes under the comments section. You can also do that on iTunes as you give some feedback there. Of course, I would encourage you to give some good feedback there if you do so, because that'll be posted for everybody to see. And then also, you can give me feedback directly at feedback@thelegacypodcast.net. Again, that's feedback@thelegacypodcast.net. So anyway, that takes care of the business portion of today's episode. So let's go ahead and take care of the content section. And first of all, what I want to do is I want to cover some of the elements that are important to have in family devotions. Last time we looked at the reasons why we should have family devotions, so now I want to look at how we're to have family devotions, and more particularly broke it down in two ways. First of all, look at some of the elements, and then the second part, I'm going to look at maybe some helpful hints or some resources, some things that I use that have been helpful. So in terms of elements, the most important element that you want to include is Bible time, Bible reading. And, of course, you can involve your kids in this, but when we open up the Word of God, that is critical. That is the most important part of family devotions. And really, if you want to start from scratch and you've never done this before, the very best thing you can do is just open up the Bible and read it together as a family. And you don't have to, you know, do a lot of this, but just, you know, start small if you have to. That's one of the points later on. But certainly, being able to read the Bible together is absolutely critical. It is the Bible, it is the Word of God that changes people's lives. And so if we're planning on building a legacy of abundance, we're planning on building biblical worldview into our children for generations to come, then the very most important thing we can do in that regard is to read them and read with them in the Bible. So that's the first thing. The second thing that we have done that we like to use is catechisms. Now, there are a lot of different catechisms out there. I'm going to show you a resource or give you a resource here in just a moment about, you know, that we use. And there are several catechisms found in these books. But you can use catechisms, Westminster Catechism. There's a catechism for boys and girls. And then there's the Heidelberg Catechism. There's a lot of different catechisms out there. There's one that's for for Baptists, and there's one, of course, for Presbyterians. Each denomination particularly has come up with their own catechism. And basically what a catechism is it is a question-answer form of teaching where you might ask the child, what is the chief end of man, for example? And they will then answer, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And so it is a way of asking a question and then having the child respond with the appropriate answer to that question. And what this does is it enables the children to gain that worldview. When we just read from them from the Bible, of course, that is great. And the most important thing, as I've already mentioned, but when you develop their mind through catechism, it also enables them to put together some of the things that they've been reading in the Bible into forms and into structures that enable them to recall it and use it in a more practical way. In other words, it builds them doctrine. It helps them to understand truth and to apply it in certain circumstances so that they will be able to identify error as well as being able to hold fast to the truth. And so catechisms can be used, and that's a helpful thing. There's a lot of people also like to include singing, especially if you're a family that enjoys music. You can incorporate singing into your family devotions. We've done this on occasion. I think some of my children want me to do this more often than we do. And it's a great way to be able to build unity in the family, to be able to work together on learning some of the hymns of the faith or songs that you might sing in church or whatever. Prepare your kids for that, as I mentioned in an earlier podcast. And so singing is a great way to worship the Lord. It's a great way to express worship as a family, as you meet together. And so, you know, it's great if you can include that in there. And then number four under elements is prayer. And, you know, I know most of you probably listening here, if you're not already doing family devotions, you're probably at least praying with your kids before they go to bed, or maybe you're praying at mealtimes or whatever it might be, and that's all great. But there's a significance to being able to set aside a certain time where you gather together as a family and you pray over the various needs of the family, various needs of the community and the church and missionaries and things like that. And so you can have prayer guides, you can have prayer lists, you can work with different requirements and needs that people have for prayer, and to lift those things up before the Lord together as a family. And of course, as I mentioned before, when you do the family devotions, when you pray like this, it encourages your children to pray. When they hear you pray and you then lead them through prayer, they then be able to develop their own ability to pray. And as a result of that, it enables them to grow in their participation in prayer. And so those really are the elements. You could add a few other ones, obviously, and each of your individual families may have specific things you like to do, areas that you like to focus, and you know, you may spend more time on any one of these areas than another, but these are the various elements that should be included in there. And if you include each of these in there, you're on the right track. If you don't, then certainly you want to maintain some consistency with Bible reading and catechism, in particular prayer. They're all actually good. It's hard to separate out any of them out. So those are the elements. Then let's go ahead and look at some helpful hints or some helpful resources that you can use to work towards building and growing your family devotions. And the first thing I want to say is that it's good to start. If you've not done family devotions and you're just getting started with that, I want you to encourage you just to get started. Even if it's very, very small, it's better to start small and stay consistent than to try to break off this huge bite. You know, I've talked to people before. You know, I tried doing family devotions, and after about 45 minutes, the kids got bored. I'm like, well, of course, after 45 minutes, my kids would be bored too. You don't start with family devotions, 45-minute devotions, especially if you've got young kids. You start with 2 or 3 minutes. And you work up to 5 minutes, and then 10 minutes, and 15 minutes, and 20 minutes, and maybe you can get to 30 minutes after a while. But, you know, that's a lot. And, you know, you're better off every day taking 5 minutes than 30 minutes once a week. Because you develop that consistency, you develop that habit that comes with the consistency. So the first helpful hint that I would give you is to start small, but be consistent. Secondly, I would say when you have kids in the home, it's better to teach to the oldest child than it is to try to cater to the youngest child. In other words, we're always trying to make our children grow in maturity. And so we always want to be able to teach to the older child and not cater to the younger child. If you cater to the younger child, then the older child, of course, will, be neglected. And so we're always working on trying to draw the younger ones up, not get the older ones down. This is just true in life. I mean, we want our young people to become more and more adults, and so we want them to participate together with adults rather than with children. And this is the same kind of thing. We want our young children to participate together with the older children in family devotions. And so this is a way that they can do that, by teaching the older child, or teaching to the older child. And then another helpful hint is to address each of the kids in the devotions. Now, this can be done through the catechisms, because each child is going to be working at a different pace than the other child, and some are going to learn faster than others, and so you're going to be able to, you know, quiz them or work through some of those catechism questions on a personal level, and so you're going to be able to address each of them. And so, you know, a little bit differently than you might do in a church service, having family devotions enables you to be a little bit more personal, interpersonal in the relationships within the family on these devotions. And so you can spend time addressing each of the needs that the child might have, or specific needs that the child might have, as you go over it. And then a third area is, I would say, consider the situation and the makeup of your own family when doing family devotions. Now, I've given you some ideas here, but each family is different. You know, there are some families who maybe have two teenage boys and you've never done devotions before. Well, your devotions are going to have to be significantly different than someone who's just getting started with a toddler. And so you need to address that. Obviously, that's, a pretty basic understanding, but, you have to be able to apply it to your own situation. This is the great thing about having control over it yourself and leading yourself, man, particularly, is that you're able to know the needs of the family and know particular what they would benefit most greatly from. And so you're able to provide that for them in the family devotions. And then another way is to involve the kids. I already mentioned this, directly speaking to each of the kids, addressing each of the kids, but involving them as well. You know, when we read the scriptures, to have them read the scriptures also, and to follow along and to, you know, participate in actually reading them if they're able to read, have them pray. And really what I do, and this is just, of course, this is what I have developed, but it's not necessarily what you have to do, but when it comes to praying, is I pray one day and then I have the kids pray the next day. So I just have them go through in turn. Each of them can pray the following day. And this way, you know, they hear me pray, but they also have the opportunity to pray and participate in that. Now, in terms of Bible reading, some of the older ones, they like to read. And so, you know, I'll read some, they'll read some. And, you know, as they get older, they participate more and more in that and like doing that. And so that's a good way to involve them as well. And then, you know, if you're musically inclined, if any of you plays the piano or plays guitar or something like that, of course, you can accompany that. And so all this does is it makes the children feel like they're a part of it. It's not just, and I would encourage you, especially fathers, if you're the ones doing the Bible reading, Bible teaching, that kind of thing, and you have to do that, especially to begin with, until they come out of that, newness idea and they're willing to actually participate in that. You're going to have to lead them when you do that as fathers. And then, so you want to involve the kids. And then the next things I would say is the most helpful resource that I have found when it comes to family devotions. And I've gone through a lot of different things. And, I forgot to mention, let me back up for a moment. On the website, if you go to the documents section, the free downloads, you can download a bunch of different Bible reading plans. And what we do in our home for Bible reading is that we actually go through the Legacy reading plan. It has nothing to do with the Legacy podcast. It just happens to be Legacy. It's actually by Hank Hanegraaff, who's the Bible Answer Man. He came up with this Legacy reading plan where it kind of walks you through the entire Bible based upon various readings clumped together by type of literature. So like the prophets are together, the histories together, Paul's epistles are together, so forth, and works you through those on a monthly basis. Now, we don't get through the whole thing. It takes about 2 years for us to go through it. But what we do is I assign reading in the morning for each of my kids, and they each read a chapter in the morning. If they're able to read, they read a chapter in the morning. And then in the evening, when we come together for family devotions, we actually read the next chapter together. And so we're covering two chapters a day. They're reading one on their own, and then we're reading one together as a family and family devotions. This keeps us consistent. I've tried doing it different ways, and this seems to be the most workable plan for us. And by doing that, if you follow us to the Legacy Reading Plan, but there's a bunch of other reading plans on there. You can take a choice of which one you want to do, but you can just go through the Bible that way. And if you do that, it'll take you about 2 years to go through. If you read, you're reading about 100. It'd be, let me do some quick math here. if you do two chapters a day, say 5 days a week, because you might miss a few here and there, so that's 10 chapters a week. So that's 500 chapters a year to get through. So, yeah, it's going to take you just about 2 years to get through the Bible. So, anyway, that's a pretty good program for doing that. So anyway, in terms of reading, that's what we do. Now, I've explained how we do reading, how we do prayer in alternating back and forth on that. Now, let me explain what we do in terms of catechisms. We use the books called Truth and Grace Memory Books. I actually have a link on my download section or the recommended reading section for these books. And there's actually three. They're in the series. There's Book 1, Book 2, and Book 3 based upon the age group that is the book is written for. And so, of course, it starts out with 2 and 3 year olds with some very easy Bible verses to memorize. And what it does is it has, in these Truth and Grace books, it has Bible verses to memorize. It has catechism questions to memorize. It will have like hymns in there to memorize. Sometimes it'll have like, the Ten Commandments listed out. In addition to, the scriptural passages, it'll have things like the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed or, things like that sometimes too, just good Christian doctrine type concepts, and you'll find them through that. Now, why I like this on a number of counts. One is I think it's very consistent. It has a lot of good good verses picked out. The catechism questions are good. It's a conservative one. It's based upon kind of a Reformed tradition, which I am a part. It also has the age group breakdown, although we started beyond the age of some of my older boys, and so they've had to catch up. And yeah, I've gone through it with them too, and I suggest parents do that. Don't just have your kids do it, but you actually memorize the verses along with them, and you go along with them and try to stay ahead of them. That's what I've tried to do with my kids, and it's been hard sometimes, but it's a good thing to do. And so using the Truth and Grace books, Thomas Askell is the actual editor of it and a compilation of it. And I just go through and I check off, put their initials next to the section after they're done with it. And so sometimes they go faster, sometimes they go slower, but it's a great way for them to get through it and to learn the catechism questions. Another reason why I like it is the scriptures are actually based upon the New King James Version, which is the version that we actually use as a family. And so not only are they learning the verses, but they're learning in the version that we actually read from, and so they come across the verses as we read them, and of course reminds them of that, and those kinds of things. So those are the resources that I use. Now, there's one other additional resource that I have used to train my children in the Bible, and if you have an opportunity to go to one of these, I really encourage you to do that, and that is the Walk Through the Bible series. You go through the Walk Through the Bible seminars, they will actually show you through hand motions all the major events and people, both of the Old Testament and the New Testament. They have two sections of it. And if you go to those, it's a great way to be able to teach your kids the chronology of the Bible so that when we're reading through a book and we come across a place, we're able to put that in the right context. And so I did that with my older boys. My younger ones are about ready to go through it again. As we read through the Bible, I work those in and have them learn the hand motions as they go into that. So I'll try to put a link in the show notes to all of these resources and all of the points that I've made with reference to the resources, and hopefully that'll be able to help you out. So hopefully you found some value there, and it would give you a little bit of inspiration and some encouragement. For those of you who are already participating in family devotions, maybe this will give you a new, a few resources or something you can use, maybe some ideas that you have not implemented that would be good. And of course, for those who are not participating, maybe this will show you that it's not so hard and you can take that step and just start small and work your way there. But there's no greater thing you can do than to spend time together studying God's word and worshiping him as a family to build a legacy of wealth financially, a legacy of family, and a legacy of faith, all working together as you worship God together. So with that, this has been Steve Donahue with episode 22 of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy? Only for the cause of Christ. Someone who believed that the world would still be changed by just one life.